Do you ever feel tired? Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel weary? Discouraged? I guess sometimes we all feel that way, don't we? All feel overwhelmed a little bit. I want to start a new series today out of the book of Joshua entitled Be Strong. Be Strong. Joshua 1:9 says this, God says these words, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us just because we get tired or weary or discouraged. Lord, you're there with us every step of the way. So, Lord, I pray that we listen to your words today as you spoke this to Joshua and also speaks to us today to be strong, no matter where we are, no matter what we're facing today. By your Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living in some unusual times in many ways. We're living in some times, there's a lot going on around us. We're experiencing overwhelming, sometimes challenges. But we're also living in times where God is moving in great and special ways in the middle of challenges. And God can only do what's being done in the midst of challenges. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer is so important that we seek God, that our hearts align with God, with his purpose, that we hear his voice and hear his word. But God is working in the midst of these times. That's why he speaks to us today to be strong. That's not a suggestion. As we just read, it's not a suggestion. It's not maybe a something that we can think about doing. He's giving us a command to be strong. To be strong. One of our first cruises that Crystal and I took many, many years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, but a long time ago. Back then I had doing some light workout. Matter of fact, it was in Saranoa, Don. Back then I was getting up early in the morning and running-ish 3 miles a day, you know, and doing some light workout, and had been for a while. And on this cruise that we were going to get on, it was a huge, huge ship. And on the back of that boat was a rock climbing wall. And the pictures didn't really do it justice. It looked huge from pictures, but I had the desire to scale that rock climbing wall. I really wanted to do it. I said, you know what? That'll be good. Number one, I can test how I am doing physically, but also I have reservations about heights. I hate to use the word fear, but I had strong reservations of heights. So I could lick both at one time. And we were a couple of months out of this cruise, and so that kind of beefed up my morning ritual. And I poured a little more into it. I wanted to be ready. So we got on that ship and finally boarded the ship, and we talked about what day we could go to that rock climbing wall, because that was one of my first things I wanted to do. So we got around there that morning, got in line. And of course, that thing was a lot bigger than what those pictures made it look like. I don't know how many stories it was, but it was a massive rock climbing wall. And standing there, my palms started sweating, and I'm sick at having a second. I didn't say anything to Crystal. She thought I was there gung-ho. She was proud of me. And I just let her be proud. I just looked at that thing, and it came my turn. And they put a belt around you just in case you fall off that wall, you don't turn into soup. So they put a belt on you and a harness so that they can catch you if you were to fall off that thing. But they hooked me up, and here I go. And man, I scaled that wall, went to the top, and rung the bell. I kept my eyes on going up. If I had looked down, I'd have been dust. But I kept going. But I thought about that, and there was training involved to be able to scale that wall the way that I did. I probably would not do the same thing if I were to take the cruise this week. Probably be a little slower, maybe just take pictures of Crystal going up that wall. I'm not sure. But God uses these situations in our life to prepare us and to train us to be strong. Being strong is not automatic. Being strong is intentional. And I'm not talking about physically. There is physical strength that we have to work toward, but there's a spiritual strength that's most important today that I believe is God is speaking to us that we need to be strong. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So God has all the strength that we need. God has the ability to do anything that he says he would do. God is able to do the impossible. And he's calling us to be strong and to believe and to trust him. I spent the first several weeks this year of talking about faith and how unshakable faith is important to our life. But in that faith, we learn how to be strong in spite of the things that we see. Our strength doesn't come from the circumstances. Our strength comes from the faithfulness of God. And so we're to be strong in him. Joshua had to lead a big group of people into the promised land. Joshua had the calling that God put upon him to lead the people into God's blessing. And so in Deuteronomy 31:7, it says, "Then Moses called Joshua." You know, Joshua walked with Moses for a long time. Moses called Joshua and said to him, "In the sight of all of Israel, be strong." There it is again, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them. That's a lot of weight, isn't it? You shall cause them to inherit it. This was a spiritual assignment. This was not a physical assignment. You know, Joshua, I'm sure he was in good shape. He did a lot of walking. But more than that, it was about the strength that he received from God to fulfill the calling on his life. Moses made it a point to tell Joshua to be strong. Why would Moses feel led to tell Joshua to be strong? He may have been a little reluctant to do what was put upon his shoulders, what Joshua saw coming. But God wanted to use Joshua to do great things. God wanted to use Joshua to do things that had never been done before. It wasn't because Joshua was special. Joshua had a ability to listen to God and to walk it out. Did Joshua feel like he graduated with this degree and he felt like, man, I can take on the world now. Surely God will notice me and I'm so sharp and so got it all together. God's going to... No, Joshua was not that person. Joshua was not that person at all. Deuteronomy 31:3 says, this is God speaking to Joshua. Then God inaugurated Joshua to the son of Nun and said, be strong. So now God is instructing Joshua to be strong and of good courage. For you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Moses told Joshua to be strong. Now God's telling Joshua to be strong. Maybe Joshua had some tendencies to second guess himself. Does that sound like anybody? You probably have friends that maybe fit that classification. Unless Joshua was strong, there were things that God wanted to do that would not be fulfilled. It was important that Joshua be strong. Being strong isn't only necessary for you, but your strength is necessary possibly for someone else. So Joshua was being used in God's strength to lead him into the same promised land that the other people were, but without the strength of Joshua, the people could have very well not experienced the fulfillment of God's purpose. Your weakness hinders you. It also hinders others. Your encouragement, your strength encourages you. It also encourages others. You never know what your walk in life means to someone else. And God uses you just as he uses Joshua. And so there's one thing that will stop the will of God for our life, my life and your life. There's one thing that will stop it, and that's our weakness. It's our weakness. Our weakness can hinder and stop God's purpose. We must be strong. God is not willing that any should perish. That's what the Bible says. God is not willing that any should perish, but people do because of their weakness, their lack of pursuing God. And so God's will for my life depends on my response to him. And if I don't follow through on that, it's not God's fault, is it? Whose fault is it? It's my fault because I hindered God's purpose being fulfilled. I can't just do whatever I want to do and expect God to bless me and to prosper me and to go before me. And because why? Because I'm on a totally different path. I'm somewhere else. God didn't leave me, I left him. And so we've got to stay close to God even in the things that we face. God tells Joshua to be strong again and again, again and again. Joshua 1, verse 6, Joshua 1, verse 7, be strong, be strong. So that it's an intentional strength in that we are training under God's leadership, training under God's word and close to him. Joshua 1:9, as we've just read, have I not commanded you to be strong? Joshua was told 6 times to be strong. Was Joshua hard of hearing? There was something about Joshua that he needed to be reminded. Joshua, be strong. There's a lot that I want to do in your life. And so if you're feeling weak or weary today, if you're feeling tired or discouraged, by the word of God, I say, be strong. And it's not your strength that you need to be strong from. It's by God's strength. He will give us the strength. He will give us the strength to be strong. If Joshua wasn't strong, the people around him would lose. If I'm not strong, the people around me will lose. My children will lose. My grandchildren will lose. If you're not strong, anyone and everyone around you will lose. And so that's no pressure on us personally or individually. That's pressure on us to draw close to God, to be strong in the power of his might. There are 5 principles I want to share with you in the next few moments. Principles to being strong. The first one is to leave the past behind. Leave the past behind. See, our past can hinder us from experiencing God's strength. Why? Because it could be victories, it could be failures, it could be discouragements, it could be hurts, disappointments, any number of things in our past can cause us to be weak. We can be hindered by our past. Now, that doesn't mean that we can rewrite our past, does it? Our past is our past. It's there. God can use our past to propel us to our future. But it's not God's desire that we be bound to our past, whether it's good or bad. We could talk about all the great things that happened in our past, and we can be stuck there, and it would cause us not to be strong enough to receive our future. So it's not necessarily always bad things that can hold us back. It's our past. If we live there, it can hold us back. God can use the things from our past to encourage us in the future. I can't be in Georgia if I'm standing in North Carolina. I've got to leave North Carolina to be in Georgia. Jordan calls and says, Josh calls and says, hey, we're having a birthday party. Well, I'm in Georgia. I want to be there. I've got to leave Georgia to get there. And so we've got, in order to be in our future, in order to be in our present, what God's doing today and onward, we've got to release the past and not be bound by the things of our past. Joshua had to face the same thing. Joshua 1, verse 1, says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, I'm sure Joshua knew that Moses was dead. Joshua probably was at the funeral. He may have preached it. So Joshua was fully aware that Moses had died, but there was something that God was saying to Joshua. Excuse me. And that was, Moses was here and he's no longer here. Joshua and Moses were close. They went through a lot together. Moses mentored Joshua. There was a lot that was poured into Joshua through the life of Moses. You know, you can get so comfortable with people sometimes that they can become your security blanket. And then when they're gone or they're missing for a day or two or maybe they passed, sometimes we get into a predicament where that person was our security blanket. Now what in the world do I do now? Where do I go? And so possibly Joshua was feeling that way. Joshua was so close to Moses that when Moses was gone, God had to speak to Joshua and said, listen, Moses is dead. It sounds a little crude, doesn't it? But God was trying to speak something to Joshua. There was a purpose for Moses' life. There was a training into Joshua by the life of Moses, but that time was done. That time was now finished. See, Moses represents yesterday. What God was saying to Joshua is that your yesterday is dead. We've got to release the past. We can't allow even the great memories of Moses. Joshua, you can't allow the great memories of Moses, the time that you spent together around the campfire roasting hot dogs. You can't let that hinder you. yes, you miss Moses, but there's something that I want to do in your life that you can't be held up by the memories of the past. So Josh knew Moses was dead, but God reminded him anyway. Moses wasn't coming back. God could have made Moses live for hundreds of years. There was an end to what Moses' assignment was to be. And now God says, Joshua, be strong. Moses is dead. Yesterday is gone. We can enjoy the memories of the past, but we can't live there. And so our past can hinder us if we're not careful. Moses could have hindered Joshua in that Joshua was dwelling on the past of Moses. So in order to move forward, we got to get past our yesterday. We got to get past that thing. Philippians 3:13 says this, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. We can't forget those things. But what Paul's saying is we can't have our current walk with God tied to that thing to where it hinders us and holds us back. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, Paul said. If the devil can keep you looking back, he can cause you to operate in your weakness. He can cause you not to receive the strength of God. If the devil can keep you distracted about this or that fact or that thing. Well, if I had just had somebody tell me here recently, Pastor Mike, if I had just done that sooner, if I had just done, made this, listen, there's something that God has been doing in our past. There's something that God was doing yesterday, but today is a new day. Lord willing, we'll see tomorrow, and if we do, there's something that God wants to do tomorrow. Things aren't the same as they were yesterday. The same people that were here yesterday aren't here today. The memory is good, but there's something that God wants to do in your life today. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The second thing, second principle, is move toward God's blessing. Well, that's obvious. Move toward God's blessing. Well, it would seem obvious, but sometimes we have the tendency to move in another direction because it's easier. Wouldn't it be much easier to move in a separate direction, one that I'm more familiar with, one that I'm more comfortable with? I would feel more comfortable by doing this. Has anybody ever told you that? See, God is a pro at giving us a challenge beyond our abilities. That's exactly what Joshua was thinking. This is a little hard, God. I mean, Moses was way up here, and I'm little Joshua. I don't think, you know, can't there be some sort of assignment? Maybe I can take water to the priest. Maybe I can do something a little easier than lead these people into the promised land. Move toward God's blessing. God doesn't send us just in any direction. He didn't say, okay, whatever you feel like tomorrow, just do your own thing and I'll catch up with you and I'll make sure I bless you. God doesn't operate that way. He has a specific reason and a specific direction for your life. Excuse me. Joshua 1:2 says this, My servant is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Here's the instruction. Arise and go over this Jordan. You and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, I don't know if Joshua was like us or not, but had it been me standing there, I probably would have said, maybe there's a shortcut so I don't have to go over Jordan. I don't see how that's possible, God. So surely there's another way. I'll check it out, and I think I'll take another way, a little shortcut. Shortcuts aren't always shortcuts. Shortcuts are a lot of times the long way around because it's our plan rather than God's plan. But God gave him specific directions to go toward the blessing. He told him to go over the Jordan. He didn't know how he was going to go over Jordan. But God spoke to him and said that, Arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all the people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. We were down in South Florida not too long ago, and we were driving home, and I don't know how in the world we did it. We stayed on the same road. We were on 95 North, And all of a sudden, we both look up at the same time, and we're on a totally different highway. I mean, I-95, when you're 995 North coming from South Florida, it's a straight line. But how in the world? We never got off of where we were, but we got off of where we were. It's either that or God picked that car up. I don't know how in the world we did it, but we got off, and we were on a regular highway. And maybe you are for me with this. I don't ever remember being on this highway. And so Crystal pulled it up, and she said, "This is going to actually take us 30 minutes out of the way. We're going to get home 30 minutes later than what we thought." And I thought, you know, that's how we are in life. Sometimes God is leading us, and we don't make sense of it. God, why did you cause me to go 30 minutes out of my way? I know good and well we never turned off 95 North. I had the crew set. If I had come around the exit at the speed I was going, it wouldn't have been, I'd have been fine, but Crystal probably wouldn't. Slow this thing down. So I don't know how we did, but God led us for some reason off of 95 North and got us onto this, I don't remember what the name of the highway is. We were 30 minutes there until we got back on and got home. And so sometimes God will lead us in a different direction, what we think is best. Well, that's not wise, God. You know, why would you take me 30 minutes out of the way? Maybe he's either trying to teach us something or trying to save us from something. There's something going on. When we follow God's direction, when we go toward his blessing, we've got to trust him that whatever path he puts us on, it's for our own good and not for us to question it. God, why did you do that? I don't understand. I'm not going to go that way because it doesn't make sense. The last thing we should do is say, God, your path doesn't make sense. His path is always perfect. His timing is perfect. When God says arise and go, arise and go. Well, it doesn't make sense. There are a lot of things that God does in our life that doesn't make sense to us because of our limited understanding. He knows everything, and we're not there yet. We'll be there in heaven one day. But it won't happen until then. And so these far-fetched ideas that God comes up with in directions for our life, it seems out of the way. But God says, listen, trust me as I put you on the path that I want you to go on. God spoke to Joshua and said, go over Jordan. There was a reason why he wanted to go over Jordan. There was going to be something miraculous happen in Joshua's life by obeying God. Let that sink in. There's something miraculous that will happen in your life as you obey God, even if it goes against your grain. We can't make sense. I remember years ago, Miss Bunny, you remember, 9 years ago, the Lord put on our heart to start a preschool. And all the red tape and the hurdles and everything we go through, and Miss Megan's doing an awesome job in directing, and all the teachers, Bunny, and all the teachers that, I mean, we're at what, 19 children now in the preschool? It didn't make sense back then. Didn't make sense. And so now all of a sudden here we are, 19 children reaching the community, which was our heart to start with. I knew God put it on our heart to start that preschool. So, well, it doesn't make sense. Exactly. And now we see the blessing out of what made no sense at all. But God's direction is important. When we go in his direction, we don't question, God, this makes no sense. There's got to be a different way. He says, no, my way is always the blessed way. God's direction isn't normally in the same direction that we would take. It usually is not. We would be surprised. He said his ways are higher than our ways. It took Moses 40 years to get the people in a 30-day journey. What should have taken them 30 days took them 40 years. God was doing something there, but their actions postponed God's blessings. Why? Because they didn't follow through on what God told them to do. The third principle is listen for God's promises. Listen for his promises. God never gives us an instruction without providing a promise to follow. God's instruction always has a promise to follow. Always. Always. God gives us promises. We have to listen for them. Joshua 1:3 says, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, God said, I have given you, as I said to Moses. God was saying, Joshua, every place that you step, when you get off of whatever you're riding on, a plane or buggy, every place that your foot goes, that's the place. I bet Joshua was stepping everywhere he could step. he was running around all the land. Everywhere he stepped, God said, I give to you. That's my promise to you. But he had to follow God's instruction in order to get there. It could be that Joshua was doubting his ability to accomplish the task. So he had to listen. God reminded him of the promise. The promise. If Joshua were comparing himself to Moses, and he possibly was, I'm not as good as Moses. Do you ever compare yourself to someone? Comparison is not from God. God made you who you are, and God made them who they are. You're not to compare yourself to someone. We can talk ourselves right out of obeying God's instruction because we're not as good as the other person. Well, why don't you have them do it? I've had that told to me. Pastor Mike, I appreciate you asking me, but why don't you get so-and-so to do that? I don't really feel comfortable with that. I've said it before. I'm not comfortable with that. Find somebody else to do that. But God made you you, and there's not another you like you. Comparison is not from God. And so had Joshua been comparing himself to Moses, that would have hindered him from fulfilling God's purpose. We're to listen for God's promise. Listen for God's promise. Verse 4 of Joshua 1 says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Everywhere Josh would step. Last September, and I've got a little cold today, but I'll survive. But last September, we got COVID. Both Chris and I both got COVID. And so you remember on that Friday, as we were diagnosed on that Friday back in September, Sunday we piped in live and we were on the screens from our living room and not feeling the best in the world, but we're feeling better than we were Friday of that week. And then by Thursday of the following week, we were up and about and haven't looked back since. But as we entered into that time of COVID, it made Chris a little bit nervous. She said, oh my goodness, because it really did. It took a lot of our friends out. COVID was back in last year in September, you know, from March to through the end of the year was a rough time. And we had a lot of friends affected by it. But what Crystal didn't know is the day I was diagnosed with it, she said, oh my goodness. She said, this is the last thing you need is COVID. And about 2 weeks prior to that, God spoke to me. He said, Mike, you're going to get COVID, but you're going to be fine. And so I told Crystal that. I said, what I haven't told you, I didn't want to tell her I was going to get COVID, number one. We pick up little bits and pieces of wisdom along the way. So I waited till I got it because God already told me I was going to get it. But he said, you're going to be okay. So what I told Crystal, I said, I knew I was going to get it, and God said I was going to be fine, so you can rest in that. And I was fine, and everything was good. And God put us in touch with the right people, and we didn't necessarily go the traditional route of all of it, and it was good for us. But see, God gave me the promise. I listened for God's promise, and I stood on the promise that he gave me. You say, well, why would God tell you that? Well, it gave us great peace during that time. From Friday to the following Thursday, it gave us great peace when we had no taste, no smell, felt like a dish rag. I'm not one to stay in the bed, but I stayed in bed for several hours each day during that week. But I reminded myself of the promise that God gave me. He said, you're going to be fine. So God gives us promises that we've got to listen to. We've got to listen for the promise. God has made many promises in this word for us. It will take hours to read the promises that he's given you. And so we need to listen for the promises and stand on the promises, and it's in those promises that we get our strength. God gives us those promises to encourage us to keep going, even in the face of challenges, in the face of things that we don't understand, things that are not comfortable, things that are challenges in our life. He says, be strong. Listen for the promise. Number 4, do according to God's word. We've got to do. There's something that we have to do according to God's word, to receive the strength that he's given us. Some of the young guys, man, they can spend hours in the gym. They've got a cut arm and cut abs. That didn't happen on its own. It happened because they were spending time working out. That's the way it is in our spiritual man. We've got to do according to God's word to receive the promise and the closeness of God in our life. You can say, well, I would feel more comfortable obeying this part of the word and not obeying this part of the word. We become sometimes selective in what we want to do, don't we? So we can come over here and we can read part of Proverbs, not all of Proverbs, because some of that steps on my toes. And so some of Proverbs we can read and we can do that. And then there are some other things in Matthew that we can learn from. But other things that I'm uncomfortable with, I want to be selective in what I do. See, God's word is God's word. And we're supposed to abide by everything from this cover to this cover. One man said, from the accordance to the maps. I think that was you, John, wasn't it? From the concordance to the maps. We believe God's word, we sit on God's word, and we do according to God's word. That's the only way that we can receive God's promise and his blessing. Not to be selective, that we do this part because that's comfortable. We're not going to do that part because that's uncomfortable. You say, well, I'll do it if my spouse does it, or I'll do it if my friend does it. See, our obedience to God can't be based on somebody else. It's not even based on your weakness. It's based on who God is. So we don't bow down to comfort. We bow down to God. It's easy to do what's comfortable. It's not necessarily easy to do what's uncomfortable. Verses 7 and 8 of Joshua 1, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do. There it is. To do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So now he's talking about prospering, that we do better than what we would have done otherwise, because while we're doing according to the law of God's word, we prosper by doing. This book, verse 8, of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do, those two words, according to all that is written in it. For then, look at this, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, God wants you to be successful. God wants prosperity in your life. He wants to further you. He wants you to go farther than what you ever thought you could, but it's going to only be through him. We see success around us sometimes. We see success sometimes that robs people and crushes people, crushes their family. That's not success from God. God's success is based on us doing just this. To recite God's word in our mouth, not to depart from it. It's supposed to be in our mouth. When we have the temptation to say something contrary to God's word, we catch ourselves. God, that's not what you said in your word. You said that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We meditate on his word, is what it says here. We meditate on his word. See, if there's something that you don't want to forget, you meditate on it. Last night I was, I guess it was about 10 o'clock, and I'd already laid down, and all of a sudden I grabbed my phone. And she said, you got a call? You got something? I said, no. So I just got to make a note about something. What had happened last night before we went to bed, I was reading the word and reading some things that I was going to talk to you about today. And I was laying there meditating on what I was going to say today. God said, tell him this. I said, well, I better make a note or I'll forget. And so as we meditate on God's word, he reminds us of things in his word at just the right time. Some things that we read don't necessarily apply that very second, but you give it a day or two and you'll think, oh, wow, I read that 3 days ago in the Word of God, how that applies to my life. That's why we meditate. So we keep his word in our mouth. We cause our speech to align with his word. We meditate on his word. And then our mindset, he says, observe to do all God's word. We observe by having our mindset to follow him. We choose, like Chris and I were talking last Sunday. She did an awesome job last Sunday. Talking last Sunday about choosing to love. Our choice to love does not change the way we feel. So our mindset in God is to do all that he says do. When our mind is set on God, we say, God, if you say it, I'm going to do it. And so God, by these three things that he's outlined here, in verse 8. He's telling us that he will cause us to prosper, to have great success. That's God. That's God. Amen? God's success is always good success. You don't have to worry about if you operate in God's success, it crushing your life or crushing your family, take your time away. No, if it's God's success, he causes all that to work. He causes us to be able to manage all those things because it's God's success, not man's success. When we get greedy and we set our eyes on accomplishing things that are my goals rather than God's goals, then we see that it's crushing and it takes time away from God. But as we do God, according to God's standards, he will cause us to be successful, he said, and prosperous in all of our ways. In all of our ways. And then finally, number 5, walk in God's presence. We're to walk in God's presence. Our strength comes from God's presence. Have you ever been around somebody that they can either bring you down or bring you up by what they say and how they treat you? Well, see, God always brings us up. God will never cause us to go down. He'll never cause us to be discouraged. Now, he'll correct us. God will correct us. Why? Because he loves us. Talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know what? Many times we see God's word sugar-coated and watered down. And my response to that is if I really love you, I'm going to speak truth to you. If I really love my children when they were growing up and they were at home and I tried to sugarcoat the truth and let them know, listen, you can really walk out in the middle of the street. You can. It's okay. You can play out there and take your car. It's okay because you want to do it. Did I really love them? Absolutely not. The next car that comes by, they're going to be playing in the middle of the road with the car. Why? Because I didn't tell them the truth. So if I truly love, then I'm going to speak truth. I don't have to order it down if it's in God's word. We either love God or we don't, right? And so we walk in God's presence, and his presence causes us to be strong. It's like walking with your very best friend. It's like walking with the one that lifts you up the highest. It's the one that you call when you're in the mully grubs and you say, I just need to talk to you right now. God is 100 times, 1,000 times, million times better than that because he's going to always speak truth but also build us up, encourage us. We need that walk with God, walk in his presence so that when we feel like we're weary or tired or discouraged, he encourages us, and it's through the strength of God's presence. Psalm 27:1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. His presence is my strength. The closer we draw to him, the things that we face, the things going on around us, we can still have strength in those times of trouble. We can still have strength in those times of adversity and challenges. It's in his presence. That's where I'm strong. When I step outside of his presence is when I'm open to the elements of this world and allow the things to get around me. God doesn't leave me. I walk away from him. It's in his presence. It's in his attendance with me. He said he would never leave me, and he's not. We walk away because first one day, I don't need to pray today. I don't need to read. There's 2 days. I don't need to pray. I don't read. 3 days, 2 weeks, then a month. Before we know it, we're out like, why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel so downtrodden? Why do I feel so discouraged? Because I've stepped away from God's presence. The closer I draw to God, yes, we like to be around people. We love to be around in each other's company. We are here. We'll be this afternoon. We love that, and there's strength in that. But even that comes through the presence of God. That comes through being close to God. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Well, you don't understand. I am afraid. Be strong. Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua may have been weak. He may have been insecure. He may have been afraid. But God reminded him, Joshua, I'm with you. I am with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is with you. But we've got to learn to take him with us so that he makes us strong in everything that we face. Strength is the basis to blessing. Think about it. Strength is the basis to blessing. Weakness is the basis to lack. Strength is the basis to blessing. Weakness is the basis to lack. Come on up, Crawford. As I was studying and reading and praying, God reminded me of this. This is for somebody today. God loves using weak people. God loves using, couldn't he have found somebody better than Joshua? Somebody that was a little stronger. God loves using weak people. He loves pouring his strength into the impossible. He loves to show us that he can do something with anybody. He loves using weak people. If you're weak today, you are a prime candidate for God to use you. God loves. If we look throughout all the Word of God, every single one, we have some knuckleheads in here. You know what? Every single one had some issues. They had some problems. They had some hang-ups, and God used them anyway. Don't you feel better? I do. God wants to use us. Every success is preceded by a weakness. Every success is preceded by a weakness. How can we get past our weakness? Stay in the presence of God. Stay close to Him. Allow Him to pour His strength in us. We can do all things through Christ. He gives us the strength that we can face. If we could change the circumstances today, if I could meet with you and say, okay, how do you really want things to be done? And I can make a phone call for you and say, okay, listen, this is the way they want it. This is the way we expect it. You got till 8:30 tomorrow morning. Wouldn't that be nice? Just make a phone call and get it all straightened out and it'd be all fixed and you have it the way you want it. It just doesn't work that way. God may make some changes, but God is most interested in using you right in your current circumstances. And He's going to bless you as you move from that. Tomorrow and Tuesday and the things that you face this week, there are challenges still going on I'm aware of. There are some things going on that I'm not aware of. God says, I want to give you strength. I want you to be strong. It's a commandment that He wants you strong today. No matter what you face, no matter where you are, God wants you strong. All of God's heroes felt like they were over their head. Every single one of them. Do you feel that way today? You feel like you're over your head? God is with you. He wants to give you strength. Life of strength is lived in the deep end of the pool. It's not in the shallow end where you can just walk around with your ankles. It's in the deep end. That's where God wants to give you His strength today. And God loves to take ordinary people just like us, ordinary people like Joshua, and do great and extraordinary things through them. That's you today. There's greatness in you. There's greatness in you today. There's greatness. God wants to do something greater than what you could ever imagine. But we've got to listen to God. We've got to learn to get His strength, get the strength from Him, and let Him cause us to do all that He's called us to do. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word today. And Lord, I recognize